Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Gianna Rayburn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori and Maine interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show's for you. Hi, friend. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, Laura. Thanks so much for having me on. Thrilled to be here.
So happy to have you on. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Gosh. I am Grant. Probably most formally known as the founder and CEO of Pango Books, which is a marketplace for books, and really fitting with this podcast for sure. But I actually, I was born in Texas, grew up in the South, spent some time in the military. I spent 4 years in the Navy overseas on an aircraft carrier. A lot of stories there. It's a crazy living environment. If anybody out there has been in the Navy, they'll understand that. And then got out, got a degree from Texas A&M, started Pango. Now I've got actually 4 kids under 6 years old. So I'm also incredibly busy, not just in business, but also in my personal life. That's a little bit about me.
So did you go to the College Station campus and the main campus?
Yes.
I was somewhere there.
Okay. Yes. I spent five whole years. It took me 5 years to get a degree in engineering. I love it. I miss it.
Yeah. I spent a summer orientation. I'm working in orientation, which is like a big process of indoctrinating you into the culture of being an Aggie and all the songs and the stuff and specifics. So it was about 20 years ago. So it was a fun summer. I was a liberal coming from New York and I was like, oh, I'm not in Kansas anymore.
Yes. The traditions at A&M, there's so many. A lot of them are really weird.
Yeah.
But it's definitely hardcore. And if there's any Aggies out there, gig them.
It is hardcore, but yeah, it was fun. It was a fun summer, hot, but it was fun.
Yeah. Well, and the heat is why I don't live there anymore. I moved to Nashville.
Yeah.
Just to be a little far. I didn't want to be as far south. It's so hot. I mean, only in middle Texas is there less people outside in the middle of summer than there is the middle of winter, just because the heat is so bad.
Yeah.
It's wild.
It's wild. So, okay. So let's chat about Pango Books. First of all, what is Pango Books and what can our readers expect from visiting Pango Books?
Yeah. Yeah. So Pango Books is a marketplace for books. So think if you're looking to get like amazing deals on books, it's the place to buy them. 100% of the inventory is used. People list new books, but we don't actually sell anything except for if we're selling individual. So 100% of the books are made up by people like you, people like me, just grabbing books off their bookshelves, taking a picture, listing them. That's 100% of the inventory. And the average person has over 100 books, physical books on their bookshelf. Mm-hmm. And somebody like you is going to have a lot more. But there's a lot of books out there that sit on shelves forever. And so I really came up with this idea as a way to get those books flowing to other readers. There's a huge passion around books, and like my love for books started with the ability that a book has to influence you. So I think, the right book can change your life, fiction or nonfiction. It can open up your mind to creativity. It's so different than, film, digital content. A book can take you on a journey and change your life. And so I thought, wow, like that is such a powerful thing. I wanted to build a business around that and, had a lot of ideas for like building a better Goodreads. But I really just settled on this marketplace idea because nobody was doing a really good job of helping your everyday reader just exchange books with each other. So that's what Pango Books is. It's a place to buy and sell your books. If you have a ton of books like you do, you can list them real easy. We take care of the entire shipping process. So like when I sell sell a book. I don't even leave my house. I just drop it off at in my, you know, put it in a mailer and drop it off in my mailbox box with the flag up, and USPS picks it up. We manage the whole shipping flow. We take all the pain out of it so that selling something like a $6 book is like easy enough to make it worth it. That's really the goal. And then obviously, you know, being able to turn around and buy another book from somebody else. And you can also, like, the thing that gets me most excited about Pango and about what we're building is the connection with other people. Like, I hear about it all the time, people actually making friends. And a good way to know about somebody is just look at somebody's bookshelf on Pango. You see what they're listing, what they probably like reading, and you can connect with somebody through that, and then also grab a book off their bookshelf. So yeah, that's a long explanation of what Pango is.
It is. And I will tell you, as a person who has sold books and have bought books, it's as a person who's trying to sell some books offload of the book. So you're like, okay, I read it once, I don't want to read this again. It's super easy to do. It's just take a picture of the barcode. It'll pop up the information. You set the price. And then when the sale is made, you just get a link to print out the shipping, and that's it. You don't need to figure out the cost of shipping. You don't need to figure out the specifics. It's just easy to do, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a seamless process. And it's like, it makes it easier, because what was happening before Pango was there were Facebook groups, and you're like putting like stacks of books, and you're like, pick these. And then you just have to get a, you had to get a kitchen scale, weigh the books, try to find PayPal, see if you can send us media mail, you know, and then, or go to the post office and go, because I normally would have gone to the post office with like 5-10 packages that I had to calculate, you know, there. And it's like hours, it saves hours of time, you know.
Yeah, that's true. You made me laugh with the Facebook group thing, because that's still, like, if you go on the Facebook marketplace, it's stacks and stacks and stacks of books. And that was something that was hard for us, because like everybody's tendency was to list like 100% of their books in one listing. Mm-hmm. And so we tried really hard to break it up into single books so that the buyer can pick and choose off of your bookshelf and kind of create their own stack and own bundle. Yeah. But yeah, it's funny. I see all those listings with like 50 books, and you know, they weigh like 50 pounds.
Yeah.
Shipping that is not easy.
Yeah. Shipping is not easy. So let's chat about, like, in terms of community aspect, like, as you'd mentioned a little bit about like creating a product, you know, and finding this marketplace as product, but thinking about Goodreads and all the other areas as a reader, you know, how do you see Pango becoming kind of like a go-to place for our readers to, you know, connect with others, but also discover new reads and discover new ways, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Your question actually defines our pursuit, really. Mm-hmm. And I'd say like that, a lot of those things you just said are our focus for the next year. And it really speaks to my passion, because that's really what I want to see. Like, I want to build a community where bookish people are making friends and actually sharing ideas and for books, book recommendations, leaving book reviews, all of that. We've spent most of the time building like a good e-commerce foundation. And so that's what you see now. We do have some social things on there. Like, we have threads where you can actually post and start a discussion. It's a little complicated to combine a marketplace with a social environment, I've found, just because it's like two different motives. You know, am I there to make friends and get a book recommendation, or am I there to like sell and get a good deal? So they can kind of be at odds. And I think finding how they mesh together really well is really the challenge. But I think, you know, it starts with like just a good place where people feel like Pango is an extension of themselves. Mm-hmm. And so I know, like, you know, with the Book Talk community, the Bookstagram community, all the bookish people on Instagram, creating an environment where it feels like home. And that's mm-hmm. what we've done with like making your own bookshelf, where you feel like you kind of have ownership over your own bookshelf, your own expression of yourself on the app. Mm-hmm. I think we've done a good job on that. But something we want to do a lot better at is really just getting our Pangoers to leave reviews and recommend books to others. So just, you know, using the, you know, over 250,000 people that use Pango books, and using like Vim as a wonderful resource to share book recommendations with others. Some of that is going to be, you know, stuff you see on Instagram where you actually have like videos and people can leave video recommendations. That's something we're really excited about. Live sales where you can actually, you know, have a video and sell stuff live without having, you know, there's a lot of apps that do that. We're looking at doing that. And then also just, you know, finding a way to get people talking more, you know, beyond like just messaging and leaving threads, but actually connecting people based on their interests. And that's a hard thing too, because with books are so widely categorized and it's not even the same. Like there's so many different ways, so many different buckets a single book can fit into, you know, so categorizing them can be hard. We've really tried to use tags for that. But yeah, our goals really in the coming year are to allow the voice of our users to be louder rather than, you know, behind the scenes algorithms or things like that. But we do want to become the place where you can go on to not only find a good deal, but find a new book that you're interested in. And we're doing some stuff. There's some stuff in the works with machine learning and other things that are over my head. But essentially that's the goal, that when you open the app, you can find something that you've never heard of before and that you also have a like high probability of being interested in. That's kind of our holy grail and what we've been, you know, brainstorming on lately.
That sounds really exciting. That sounds really good. And I want to preface this, and to readers who may want to have a store but they may not be available at all times, you can put the store on pause. There is also that feature. So if that's a barrier of entry that you're like, I'm not going to be able to maintain it a whole year long, like there's features that allow you to put it on pause and to just restart it and just save time for use and like buy some books, you know, too.
Yeah. And one thing that people don't know as well, it's like kind of not a hidden feature, but not as obvious, is like shopping from a single seller. You can get like way better deals that way because you get one shipping cost, you know, since it's shipping from one location. So that's something that I always encourage people to do is find a person on Pengo that they're interested in that sells a lot of books and kind of make that their go-to place. We have the follow feature for that where you can follow somebody. But yes, you can definitely put your shop on hold. It's funny what are the barriers to entry for people? And it's that, it's like, you know, I'm traveling, I'm not available, but yeah, you can put your shop on hold.
Yeah. And yeah, at the end of the episode, I'll share a couple of stores that have plenty of inventory, and my store will probably have plenty of inventory as well as sharing Grant some of the pictures of books that I have to upload. So what do you hope, like, you know, you mentioned what you hope in the next year to do for Pengo Books, but what do you see Pengo Books in the future? Like 5, 10 years, you know?
Yeah, gosh. Sometimes it's so hard to look that far into the future. It's like I get so consumed with the now. But yes, there's a huge vision for the future. And number one is, you know, we want to bring Pengo Books to our Canadian readers. That's the most requested, probably the most requested thing is to bring Pengo Books to Canada. We have so many Canadian fans, awesome people there. And so we'd like to go international right now. Like we're just in the United States. We'd love to go to the UK. We'd love to go to Canada. We'd love to go to a lot of different places. It's challenging though, because shipping costs explode when you talk about international shipping. So what we want to do is create its own ecosystem in every country that we go to. So when we go to Canada, it's kind of got to stand on its own legs and have shipping within Canada, not necessarily from the US to Canada, unless it's a rare special edition, you know, high cost book that's worth the shipping. So, you know, going international and really connecting the world through books, because that's kind of our mission. That is our mission statement, is connecting the world through books. And right now we're just doing it in the United States. So that would be one. Number two, something we've played around with, and I don't know if I should be saying it on here. This is really a back in the kitchen discussion, but something we've been really playing around with is how independent bookstores can fit into the Pango Books ecosystem. So there's, you know, there's a huge movement to save independent bookstores. A lot of independent bookstores struggle with how easy it is to buy, like from Amazon. And so allowing, bringing on independent bookstores and local delivery. So instead of, so here's like a world where in 5 years, Pango will be. Instead of, you know, buying something on Amazon and getting next day or 2 day shipping, being able to buy a new book from a local bookstore around you and get same hour delivery with DoorDash or, you know, one of the like same hour delivery, like Uber Eats. Yeah. There's a ton of them.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the most exciting thing to me, to think about actually beating Amazon on delivery speed, also helping independent bookstores. And then when you're wanting to pick up a new book, you're, you know, getting it local and feeling good about it. So local delivery is something that's really exciting as well. And then the last thing that I think we could see in the next 5 to 10 years is a way for independent authors. It doesn't have to be independent authors. Those are the ones that like pull at my heartstrings, because there's a huge movement in that direction. You know, a lot of people have amazing content that they're writing and don't get a publishing deal, or maybe they feel like their publishing deal is not favorable to them and they want to, you know, be independent. And so allowing, opening up the Pango Books community to independent sellers and allowing them to really like make a name and build a brand selling directly to their readers through Pango Books. So an example would be you write a book, you want to launch it on Pango. We advertise it for you. You do a virtual book signing event where you, you know, have this like a little, a video call with all your, you know, your fans and sign their book right in front of them and then drop it in the mail and send it to them. So we want to do a lot of things like that. Obviously that would bring us into like the new book category too, which is of course where we want to go. But right now, you know, that's a long way off from just the peer-to-peer environment that we are now. And that's really our bones. And I think always will be the core of what we do. But yeah, I think some of those verticals and horizontals that we just talked about are things that really excite me that are definitely coming.
These are very exciting things. I think Canada is going to be a big one. You know, that's a, it's a big market. And it's exciting to beat Amazon in their own game, you know?
Yes.
It's like, you're beating Amazon.
Faster than Amazon, yeah.
You know,
she
like,
could do that.
But you're even giving them like you're giving like you're helping other people, like, you know, you're helping other people, like you're flowing the information, like you're not like books are not going to waste. They're moving around after they've been read. So they're having a life on its own after, you know, to somebody else who's going to discover, and who knows, they may just go back to Pango and do the same thing and over. So it's not like a one and done.
A statistic I heard recently, and I don't know if it's in the U.S. or in the world, let's just say U.S. and maybe it's the whole world, over 300 million pounds of books are thrown into the dump every year. So that's something, you know, I like to tell people, because whenever you reuse and, you know, re-commerce, resale, like you're helping a book have another life. You're literally saving books from the dumpster.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. If you're a book lover, you know why that's exciting. If you're not a book lover, maybe not. But yeah, that's an interesting fact.
That's a really interesting fact. And so, you know, you have a place, you have a resource that's easy to use. That's, it's a simple, it's not a headache. You can actually do it with your phone. You can take pictures, no professional camera needed, you know, just scan it, sell it, and just move along and have the book have a life of its own to somebody else. So. Yeah. So what kind of, let's start with some book recommendations. So what kind of genre do you tend to gravitate when it comes to reading?
So I absolutely love biographies. So I mainly read biographies and self-improvement entrepreneurial books. I've had a heavy lean towards entrepreneurial books just because that's kind of what I've needed for the past 2 years. But love biographies. I love reading stories about people who've done things that I'm interested in doing and just learning from experience rather than from coaching. So I think that's the difference between like what I get out of a biography versus, you know, like a self-improvement book. A self-improvement book is like, you know, 9 steps to be your best self or whatever. But a biography is you just reading about somebody, overcoming challenges. And that is what I get the most out of. I love reading stories about other people. And that's why biographies are the most exciting to me. But yeah, that's a little bit about what I read. Yeah.
And do you have any books to recommend our listeners to pick up?
Definitely. So I'll talk about, well, I guess currently reading is probably next, but I'm excited to talk about that book. It's probably my favorite biography right now, not of all time, you won't do all time, but favorite recent biography that I've read is Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. It's hugely popular. Probably most people have heard of it. It's a gruesome story, though. Like in the first one or two chapters, when you read about his childhood, and for anybody that doesn't know, David Goggins is a Navy SEAL, ultramarathon runner. He's just overcome a lot in his life, but he had a childhood of just hardship and abuse. And then he ended up becoming a Navy SEAL and just overcoming so many challenges in his own life. And it's just so inspirational to read about, because, you know, some of some of the things that I pull out of that, like life is not easy. Life is a lot of fun, can be a lot of fun, but it's, you know, a lot of it is really, really hard. And a lot of times, you know, people are struggling through things. Often they're struggling through things silently because they don't want to talk about it. They want to look like they're okay to everybody. And, you know, this book is just a real encouragement. Like if you are struggling through something, if you are overcoming a challenge, like you can see other people, you can see someone else do it, not in a way that's showy, if that makes sense. So a little backstory on me, like I when I was in the Navy, you know, I went through BUDS. I didn't make it through the BUDS training. And that was a failure that kind of haunted me for a long time. And then, you know, and I read this book, I found like before he became a SEAL, he went through this really intense Air Force training and didn't make it through that. But he didn't let that define him. He overcame it and ended up conquering an even bigger mountain. So it's just it's a real encouraging book. Another one, you know, we'll stick with that vein and then switch over to kind of a different genre. There's a book called Grit by Angela Duckworth. Mm-hmm. Definitely recommend that book. She's an amazing author and has really just studied what makes someone persevere, because the way that she, and I'm like loosely defining because it's been a bit since I read it, but loosely defining her definition of grit, which is the ability to persevere through with one thing for a very long time, right? Like it'd be like, you know, in your example, the ability to run this podcast for as long as you've done it, like that's grit, right? A lot of people can do 2 episodes, 10 episodes, and then they're like, ah, you know, I'm not going to do it anymore. I can't do it anymore. Having the grit and perseverance to keep going and build something out of it is really, really hard to do. And I think anything worth doing requires that grit. And so if anything worth doing requires grit, this book definitely teaches like how it's developed and how you can get it and how sometimes grit is just like surviving another day and just continuing going. So it's another really encouraging book, but it's really just the psychology of grit. So it's kind of, it's actually a psychology book is what it is, but it'll teach you a lot about yourself and your own mind. And then my last recommendation is actually a book that I'm like almost done with. So I'm going to go ahead and recommend it, even though I'm not completely finished, but it's a brand new book. It's called The Myth of Normal by Gabor is his first name. I can't pronounce his last name, so I'm not going to try. It's either Mate or Matt. Yeah, I tried, but I shouldn't have. it's called The Myth of Normal, and it's probably one of the most original, I don't even know how to say this, but it's just, when you read it, it's one of the most original things I've read in a long time, where it got me really thinking about, and to give a little synopsis, he talks about small T trauma versus big T trauma, small T trauma being, you know, you were bullied as a kid, nothing really terrible happened to you, but you were bullied or something like that, and how that can affect you later in life, how, you know, we suppress our personalities. He links a lot of this stuff even to like later in life disease, the mind-body connection. So it's a beautiful book about the mind-body connection. If you're interested in, you know, kind of it'll definitely get you thinking about why you are a certain way. But it's amazing. I think one of the biggest ones for me is just like linking some things that happened in my childhood to my current personality. Mm-hmm. Super eye-opening. And, with me, I'm like, I just want to know, I want to know how I think, why I think that way. And then I can dissect it and then I can change it. Because if you just say, oh, this is just how I am, it's like mm-hmm. a defeating way to look at things. I like to really unpack, how we think and learn more from it. So that's an amazing book. I definitely recommend that as well.
I'm adding that book to my TBR for sure, because I'm like one of those people who's like, I need to change the thought process, and I spend enough time in therapy, journaling, and doing the different things to change the way I think of doing things. Like it's a whole, because a lot of it's a mindset game. It's like you have to change, like you have to have the right mindset to accomplish whatever you set yourself for.
It's not like
you just like actively doing it. It's like sometimes you just do autopilot, but sometimes your thought like autopilot. So how to change your autopilot thought to basically do the thing.
And that's so hard. There's a science behind that too. Like it's called myelin that wraps these different neural connections in your brain. Yeah. And that's a habit. Yeah. And breaking that's so hard because it's literally things you do without thinking. So a lot of us do self-destructive things without thinking. And changing that, but the mindset, that's like my last recommendation of what I'm currently reading, which is, and I'm halfway through this, but I'd already recommend it, is Mindset by Carol Dweck, an older book, but it just literally talks about the difference between a fixed mindset and having a fixed mindset and having a growth mindset. Mm-hmm. And I think like I certainly had a fixed mindset most of my life. Mm-hmm. And you don't even realize you have it and how it's crippling you. And it's essentially a fixed mindset believes that your current level of intelligence is all you'll ever have. Who you currently are is all you currently will ever be. For example, like saying that you suck at math or something like that, even though like I used to say that about myself and then I ended up getting an engineering degree. I was terrible at math most of my life. And I just thought that was the definition of who I was. I'm just not good at math. But the growth mindset believes that they can always learn something new, that they can change their level of intelligence. And honestly, like whether it's true or not, physiologically, just like the hope and belief that you can do something is often the impetus you need to actually do it. And so it's another encouraging book. Like I realize there's a theme through all the books I've recommended here, but like when you're striving for goals and looking to make things happen in your life, like it's so important that you have the right mindset. So I definitely, that's what I'm currently reading and I recommend it already.
I love this. I love these recommendations. I love they're in alignment with like you're doing something major. And so like something that's revolutionary to the book world at the same time, like if you have to have the right mindset, the right, the right emphasis, the right thought process to create this process of change, so it all comes together. So
I gotta say too about that, like the one thing everybody says about Pango is, oh, it's like Amazon, and having Amazon be like your number one competitor is really discouraging a lot of the time, so a lot of it comes from that, just feeling like breaking into the book industry with a new product is really, really hard. But honestly, thanks to all the people that love reading, it's been possible. And I think that's something a lot of people didn't realize is, readers are more interested in other readers, the whole experience, rather than just, getting a book and, reading it. So I think hopefully we're building, a home for people that love books as much as we do.
I think you are. So so tell us where you can get Pango Books. Like, is it an app? How do we get it? We've been talking about it, but now we're ready to be like, okay, let's download it and let's get this started.
So I recommend everybody to use the app. We do have a website, but it's not an afterthought, but it's the app is the main focus of like our development team. We put the most work into it. It's actually the only way you can sell. So you can buy on the website, but to sell, you need the app. So you can get the app by searching for Pango Books on iOS or Android app stores, and you should see it right away. And yeah, you can download it. You can set up your own shop in literally 30 seconds. You can download it and have a book for sale in as little as 30 seconds. Like, time yourself and tell me if I'm wrong, because it's really that easy. So at least check it out. And if you're not interested in selling, you know, definitely see, you know, today is Black Friday. We have a ton of sellers offering amazing discounts. You'll see that on the homepage. So you'll see some offering like as much as $10+ off bundle orders. So you can get books for an even better deal than otherwise on Pango today. So this is going to air after Black Friday, but
you should be on the lookout for deals, because like a lot of sellers are resulting to like they need to make some room for space, so they might put offload it. So again, try to find those sellers who have 100+ books, you know, and buy from that one seller. Like go wild on their bookshelf, you know.
Yeah, and it'll make their day. It'll make somebody's day too. It's also a good way to feel good about your purchase. Amazon will not notice when you buy something from them. But everything you buy on Pango, somebody's going to notice, and you're going to make somebody's day.
Yeah. So thank you, Grant, for being on the show.
This has been awesome. It's been great to meet you.
Great. If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com. Did you know you can purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore? With Libro.fm, you can pick up more than 250,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from real booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company, you know the name, but you'll be part of a different story, one that supports your local community. If you're new to audiobooks, there's a perfect way to squeeze into more reading to your busy life. Listen with a free Libro.fm app while you do your chores, walk your dog, relax at home. The Watch Read Next podcast has a special offer for our listeners. Get 2 audiobooks on Libro.fm for the price of 1 with your first month of membership. Use code WATCHREADNEXT. This offer is only valid for new members in Canada and the US. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? Watch Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.